business, I want you to go and I want you to make more money out of it. And if you don't, then you may be looking to work for somebody else. And that is, in essence, what somewhat happens in this story. I'd always read this, though, thinking that this was a story about, you know, using what you got, making sure that what you were given, you do well with it. Now, I have to give you some history from that. My dad was a collector of collectors, okay? And so I read this story with a little bit of angst in my heart, a little bit of, you know, beguiling the fact that we would collect all this stuff and we would never use it. Now, I don't tell this story to belittle my dad, who passed away about 7 years ago. I tell it to because a lot of the stuff he collected was great investment things. It was just his nuance. It was his difference. It was his, the way he was. But when my dad passed away, he had 11 cars and two of them ran. The rest of them sat in a yard. Now, part of that was he was from Arkansas, so, you know. We had four antique gas pumps. Now, when I say antique, I mean those real tall ones that you used to let it fill up the top and then you put it into the gas, into the tank. But here's the problem. We had 8-foot ceilings in our house. Those things are 12 feet tall, okay? So they all laid on the ground, usually out in that yard and rusted out where all those cars were. We didn't get to use those things. They were of no benefit. He had over 300 Matchbox cars. Now, you know what I mean, the little ones? You guys probably grew up with Hot Wheels, but these were from England, and they were these real delicate, intricately made, hand-painted, at least at the first, little cars. 300 of them that I never got to play with because they were antiques. Well, at least he didn't think I got to play with them. You know, you make up for stuff when you're in your 20s and find out where that stuff is, and you go back in and find those cars and stuff. But I never got to play with those little antique cars. We had about 10 pinball machines, wooden pinball machines. And you're probably thinking, well, that's cool. There, you know, there's something. No, these were the kinds without flippers. I mean, you know, you just let it go and it goes up and it comes down and you get the score whatever it hit and didn't hit in the middle of it. Yeah, you see what I mean, huh? I know the one thing that my mom told him, no way, huh, we're not doing that one on, was we were in this place and we found found this table. It was porcelain and it looked like a steak table. It had this, you know, it ran down the side and it tilted up. And my dad thought this would be the coolest dinner table in the world. Well, what we were in was this old morgue, and what it did was tilt it up, and that's the way that they, you know, what they do in morgues. My mom said, huh, we're not, that will not be our dinner table. I draw the line. When my dad passed away, he had his complete house. I mean, the whole garage, literally you had an aisle to walk down through it to get through. The attic was absolutely completely filled. He had three houses that he had, or three storage bins that he had completely full of stuff. That yard that I was talking about, my sisters, he had them store stuff. I would take everything I could to furnish our house. He had one of the cars was an old van that he had things stacked in. I mean, you see what I mean? One of my last memories of him living was eaten up with cancer, you know, and still pushing him around the one of the auctions so that he could look at all the stuff. Just had a couple months left to live. He was a collector. That's what he loved doing, but he didn't utilize what he had. There, and I always thought this was a story about that, you know, and would even say to my dad, Dad, the Bible tells us we ought to use what we've got, you know, but I see it differently today, guys. I mean, I see that this is a story about risk, and even something deeper than that I want to mention to you as we go. There's some little things about risk that are really interesting in this. You know, you never know about risk until you risk. You can brag about being a person at risk until you put it out there, right? I had a chance 4 years ago when we moved here. I felt some things about the economy, and I thought, I'm going to invest. And here, I'm going to talk to this friend of mine. And he said, yeah, here's some things I think you're right. And this is where I put my money. One of those was in this little energy company that he knew about here in town called Devon. Well, I invested, but just for a little while, and then I kind of got antsy, and then, and about 6 months after I took it out, it went shoo. You know, you never know if you're going to risk until it comes time for you to put it out there. I think another thing that I realize about risk is we may risk big, but we're still called to risk daily. Dean and Leah Ross are heading off to Turkey about this time next year. That's a big risk. But every day they're there, they're called to risk again and again and again and over and over. You know, with the kingdom, it's not always equal, is it? This story says that one was given five, one was given two, and one was given one. It's not all equal. Some of us are given more than others. But you know what all of us are called to do? Is to risk it all. We're all called to risk. Now here's what I want us to glean from this portion of this story. This is what I feel like the Holy Spirit spoke to me and to some different individuals here today. Because in your mind, like that servant, one of those servants, you're saying, well, God, when I get this, I'll give. When you give me such and such, then I'll give it away. I'll invest it. I'll risk it all. But I need this from you. You know what? Isn't that the story of the widow's mite? She just gave what she had. Isn't that the story of when Jesus fed the 5,000? He just took one of this little these few loaves and these few fishes from this little guy. When we were in Europe, I remember talking to God about, well, where are we going to plant? Where are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, God, what are you saying to us here? Where's the next place? Where's the next frontier? And God simply spoke to me, Eddie, I've already given you guys places to plant. I've already given you places in Oklahoma City to plant churches all over there. I've given you favor with colleges. I've given you favor with artists. I've given you favor even outside of that city, in Lawrence and in places in Turkey. It's not that we shouldn't ask about the next frontier, but folks, we give what we've got. We risk what we've got, and God has given us plenty here. Of places, of things that we can risk. I think another element of risk that I'd want to point out to you is the fact that we risk the one as well as the five. This was the other thing that God kept speaking to me, is a lot of us are willing to risk the big thing, aren't we? But there's these little things that we keep holding back. I mean, a servant might say, hey, I've got this big thing. I want to risk it all with God in this deal. It looks good. It sounds good. It feels good. It might even be what you're called to. But there's some little elements of your family, of your personal life, of things that you're just not willing to risk. Risk is a funny deal, isn't it? A lot of different layers, a lot of different levels to it. Some of us will risk everything, it looks like, life and limb. But then when it comes down to some real small deals, we're not willing to risk it all. We want to hold that one back. Some of us have taken a lot more than five talents, and we've risked them and seen God do a whole lot with them. But we've got this one little thing that I'm holding back, and I'm just going to bury it in the ground and let it come as it may. I think this is the thing, though, that the Holy Spirit spoke to me also about for us corporately. You know what, guys? I really feel this. It's time for another big risk for us as a body. I really do. I think God is calling us to another big risk. 10 years ago or so, God called us, a lot of you together, to risk this thing called Bridgeway Church. And I think God's calling us for another one. And you know what? You may think, well, we don't have the resources. We're not the big resource person here. We're really like the one talent. You know, we don't have a building. We don't have, you know, the reputation. We don't have the amount of people. We don't have the finances. You know what we've got, guys? We've got the one resource that everybody out there would give it up for. Everybody out there would give up this resource. I see them do it all the time. It's youth. What are the legends about the Fountain of Youth? They'd give up everything they had to have youth, wouldn't they? And that's the resource that we've got that we could give away. That's the one that would cost us. And I think God's calling us to another big risk as a body. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what he's saying to us. But I just think as a body, it's time that we took this huge resource that we've got and we risk it all. Isn't risk a funny thing? A lot of different stratas to it. A lot of different ideas about it. I mean, why all these different deals around risk? But you know what? I don't think this is a sermon necessarily about risk at all. I think if you want to find the key to this story and to this passage, you'd open up to Matthew 25:24. And we could talk about risk all day. It's a great surface element. It's how we live out. It's what we do. It's our way of living. But the in essence of this passage, of this story, comes down to Matthew 25, verse 24. See, he said to the others, well done, you've taken what I've given you, you've done well with them. And then he gets to this servant who took it and buried it in the ground. And this is how he replies back to his master. He says, then the servant with one bag of gold came and said, sir, I knew you were a hard man. You harvest crops where you didn't plant, you gather crops where you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I'd lose your money, so I hid it in the earth, and here it is. I think this guy misunderstood his master, didn't he? He didn't know who his master was. He didn't get the essence of him. He replies to him, you're a hard man. You do things that I seem and that seem around here that they're just not just. You know what, guys? I really believe this, that our actions, this risk thing, is tied to who it is that we trust. So if we're going to get below the surface of it, if we're going to talk about the risk thing, then I better talk about, do I trust the one who's given me what it is that I'm going to risk? I mean, do you see that it's not really a story about what I'm going to risk or how much I'm going to risk? It's who I put my trust in that's in charge of all the risk. So you're thinking back through your mind, oh man, what can I dig up today? What is it that I haven't got that I haven't risked? Why is it that I haven't? That's not the real question. The real question is who is the person that gave it to you, and can they be trusted to do with it what they're asking you to do with it? If not, you're just thinking back through your mind, what can I give up? What can I do with this? Instead of who is it that has it all in his hands? Who is it that tells me that if I begin the work, I'll bring it to completion? Who is it who gave you the 5 talents or the 1 talent or whatever it is in the first place? See, that's what this is a story about. It's a story about the master. And when we misunderstand his character and nature, when we think he's a hard and unjust person, then we're willing to just go and bury it because we don't understand his concepts. We don't understand who he is. We don't understand that he brings it to fruition, that he's able to bring the increase, if you will. See, that's the real question. Not are you supposed to risk, but it's can I trust God to risk? Is he big enough and is he good enough to do what he's said he would do? See, I don't want you to leave here today thinking, okay, I need to get busy risking. Because that's not what this is about. What I'd ask you to do is take a second. Contemplate back who it, what it is that God has asked you to risk. And then layer that over with his nature and with his character. And can you trust him? Faithful is he who calls you. He's able to bring it to pass. That's the real question today. You guys know, and I've told this story before, but that one of our kind of parents in the faith is a place called Antioch Church. The pastor there, the lead pastor, his name's Jimmy Siebert, and he had somebody give him a prophetic word one time. He didn't take it as very encouraging at the beginning, and this was the word. He said, "Jimmy, you've been given more than I intended you to have." And he kind of thought, was taken back from that and thought, well, that's not, what are you saying there, you know? Thank you. Now leave me alone. Then he thought through the scriptures, which we all should do when we're given a prophetic word. And he realized it was this story. He took that one talent from the guy who'd buried it and he gave it to those who had went out and invested it. Guys, we've been given an incredible resource. We're being called to risk again. We're being called to give it all away and to make it all about him. But I promise you, that's not the real story. There's something in the middle of that that is, will we trust God? Will we say, this is all yours? That's why we're willing to give it away. I don't know how long it'll be before it comes back to fruition. I don't know if it looks like a generation before it grows up, you know, and becomes what it's supposed to be. But here it is. We're giving it all away. In a moment, we're going to have a ministry time. I don't want you spending your time thinking about what is it that I've got to go out and dig up so I can get it out and give it to God. Until you ask yourself this question, is the God who's calling me to risk it all, be it the one talent or the five talent, be it the thing that you've got hidden in the dirt, whatever that might mean to you, or be it the one that you've seen increase over and over and over again, is it him that you trust? Is it him that you'll bring this talent to? Are you one of those servants that says, hey, you gave this to me. You're the one that said, go and invest it. Here it is. Or are you the one that says, I don't know if I can trust him. When I think back about through life, did he really come through then? Was that him at that time that told me this and it just didn't turn out? That's the real question, isn't it? The real question is do you trust the one who's calling you to give it all away? It's a real odd ending to this story. It's an exceptionally sad way to conclude a story, and Jesus tells it and just leaves it like it is. He says, but from those who are unfaithful, even to what they have, it'll be taken away. Now throw this useless service out into outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The ones who don't risk get separated from God. Not because they don't risk, it's because they don't trust him. You can't walk with God. You can't watch his kingdom happen unless you trust him. There's a real hard separation from God when we just don't trust. That's what he's saying to us. Now, what I'm asking you to do individually, Brad, if you'll come on up. As Brad sings these songs over us, or this song, before we have any response, I don't want you running through your mind, what is it that I need to dig up? This might be a great place today for you to go and dig up some stuff in your mind and with other people or in prayer and say, I want to give this up to him. But before you ever go to that place, please ask yourself, do you trust the God who's called you to do that? Is he big enough and good enough in your life? Because that's the thing that I want to pray over you, or I want other people to pray over you. I don't want to pray about your issue. I want to pray over you about your God. I want to pray over you that you can trust him to do this thing. That's what he's asking us to do. So, Father, as we come to you now,